Hello and welcome to From the Ground Up. I'm Alex Redfield, member of the editorial team and the policy director for Wildlands, Woodlands, Farmlands, and Communities. In this issue of From the Ground Up, David Foster introduces this season's themes with a compelling introduction called Communities and Land, Working Together Toward a Shared Vision. I'd encourage all of our readers and listeners to spend some time with the piece, and there are links in this episode's show notes. But to sum it up briefly, in his introduction, David speaks to the importance of considering the myriad needs we ask our landscape to provide. We need enough space for our homes and to grow food for ourselves. We also need space to provide safe modes of transportation, to allow our kids the chance to play outside, and to offer moments of quiet restoration, just to name a few. Beyond what our landscape provides for humans, considering the value of nature for nature's sake only further underscores the importance of carefully considering how space is used, for what purpose, and at what cost. In this edition of the New England Policy Chronicle, we share three examples from around the region that illustrate how different states are codifying these integrated and multi-sectoral approaches to land planning and use. But before we get to those examples, first, a metaphor. As students across New England return to school this fall, more than a few middle school math teachers will be teaching their classes how to solve for a single variable. In a simple equation with a few known constants, you should be able to find the value of x to make a formula work out. Applying a similarly linear approach of working to solve for a single variable in land use policy, however tempting, would almost certainly fail to meet our diverse and overlapping needs in planning for a resilient landscape that supports the lives of all humans, plants, and animals who live here. If we try to build as many possible units of housing as quickly as possible, for example, but fail to consider how that housing boom could impact or be impacted by transportation capacity, energy infrastructure, ecosystem integrity, or farm viability, we may cause more problems than we solve. Though there is unlikely to be any universal equation that spits out the perfect solutions to shape our region's future, it is clear that solutions are more effective when they integrate diverse perspectives, competing priorities, and a holistic analysis early in the process. This ensures that solutions are thought through carefully to deliver maximum impact and to avoid unanticipated consequences. So how does multi-sectoral planning proceed in practice at multiple scales, landscape scale, municipality, state, and region? How do conservation and development link together in ways that engage local communities to achieve societal goals while respecting local values, protecting human rights, and uplifting all people? How do we address these complicated and fluid problems? Here are three examples from states that are tackling these land use questions in integrated and innovative ways. First, Vermont. Vermont's unique approach to the broader need for coordinated land use planning is embodied in three landmark policies and public institutions, all of which combine to create a powerful and effective framework for planning and governance. The Vermont Housing and Conservation Board, often referred to as VHCB, was established in 1978 to facilitate public and private investments in the development of affordable housing and the conservation of Vermont's natural and working lands, all under one roof. Elsewhere in this issue, Gus Selig, VHCB's executive director, offers additional context on their approach to integrating these multiple priorities. You can find links to Gus's piece in the show notes for this episode. The underlying vision of VHCB is based in no small part on the landscape scale approach and spatial analysis contained within the Vermont Conservation Design Project, coordinated by the state agency, Vermont Fish and Wildlife Department. The 2015 VCD report identified key areas of ecological significance around the state, including the large forest blocks and the fragile aquatic and riparian ecosystems, to better inform trajectories of development and land protection. Additionally, several recent legislative initiatives have been adopted that complement the basic framework of Vermont's seminal land use law, Act 250, which incentivizes development in some targeted growth areas and creates oversight tools to restrict conversion of natural areas. A series of bills, including the Forest Integrity Act and the Community Resilience and Biodiversity Protection Act, among others, have all passed in the last several years to expand on the basic framework laid out by Act 250. These bills collectively create ambitious land protection targets, make it easier to build where it makes sense to do so, and establishes a model that balances competing land use needs rather than advancing different priorities in isolation. to Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, a decades-long effort to advance both smart growth and statewide land protection has taken on new and promising momentum under the leadership of the Healey administration. In 2024, the administration initiated the Massachusetts Integrated Land Use Strategy, or MILUS, which seeks to coordinate the conservation of natural and productive lands with development while advancing net zero and biodiversity goals and centering equity and access. The effort squarely incorporates two essential elements for effective coordination: robust engagement across sectors and effective partnership across state and municipal jurisdictions. Engagement across sectors is demonstrated by the active working groups formed as part of the MILUS initiative, welcoming representation from state agencies and partners that specialize in economic development, housing, energy, conservation, environmental protection, water quality, public health, equity, transportation, and infrastructure. To achieve partnership across jurisdictions, the work seeks to develop an interagency agreement on preferred future land uses at a state level that's forged with strong local involvement to align municipal and regional planning with state priorities. The overall goals for MILUS include economic development, the construction of 220,000 new housing units by 2036, the conservation of 40% of the land in Massachusetts by 2050, and the transition to 50-plus gigawatts of clean energy by 2050. The mapping and planning phase of this effort are intended to produce a GIS planning tool by the end of this calendar year, and final decision-making should occur by spring 2026. If MILUS is successful in convening partners from different sectors of state government, it could provide planners and policymakers across the Commonwealth with a new suite of resources and guidance to inform better decisions at a local, regional, and statewide scale. In Maine, in contrast with Vermont's long-standing Housing and Conservation Board framework and the recent ambitious efforts of Massachusetts in their MILUS initiative, the new Maine Office of Community Affairs offers a fairly modest but really important set of resources to streamline coordination between municipal and state-level planners, policymakers, and advocates. Based on recommendations from a report coming out of the Governor's Office for Policy, Innovation, and the Future, Maine lawmakers authorized funding to create the Office of Community Affairs as a mechanism to support Maine towns in better accessing, utilizing, and shaping technical support and public funding to improve their capacity for climate resilience and planning projects. Since 2012, when then-Governor Paul LePage closed Maine's state planning office, municipal officials have often felt the pinch of having insufficient capacity to meet state and federal goals. Without sufficient support from other levels of government, towns in Maine didn't have the resources to identify and secure the funding necessary, even if it was available, to implement policy changes in line with broader goals. The Office of Community Affairs is taking on the role of being the one-stop shop for state and municipal collaboration, with the intent of making it easier for feedback and funding to flow back and forth. In addition to serving as the liaison between town and state counterparts, the Office of Community Affairs is also playing a key role in facilitating a new interagency working group adopted by Maine lawmakers at the end of 2024. This working group, consisting of Maine's Commissioner of Transportation, the Commissioner of Environmental Protection, the Commissioner of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, of Economic and Community Development, and the Director of the Maine State Housing Authority. This working group is charged with designing a plan for agency coordination to maximize state resources that can help promote smart growth, walkable neighborhoods, mixed-use development, and mixed-income housing in high-use corridors near higher-density downtowns and village centers. Fresh off a very public debate about the true value and wider impact of building new highways to facilitate better traffic flow into the metropolitan areas of the state, this new interagency working group could offer a better way to consider major infrastructure projects or big land use policy changes. Instead of moving forward with a solution that might fail to consider the bigger picture, MOCA, the Office of Community Affairs, and other initiatives moving ahead in Maine could facilitate better ways to integrate more perspectives and to balance competing priorities earlier on in the process, ultimately yielding better ideas and avoiding unforced errors that are sure to crop up when ideas are advanced without sufficient consultation and analysis. Thanks for listening to From the Ground Up. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an issue. And if you're tuning in on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please take a moment to leave us a rating or review. Your support helps these conversations grow and reach more listeners like you. For more stories, artwork, poetry, and perspectives at the intersection of conservation, climate, and community in New England, visit fromthegroundupne.org. From the Ground Up is published quarterly by Wildlands, Woodlands, Farmlands, and Communities, and supported by the Heistead Foundation. Subscribe for free and join us each season as we share stories that inspire connection and action.